This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, a magnificent Thursday, and we're going to have fun for the next 3 hours. I give you my word on that. My goodness, the questions came pouring in, and it's been quite a week as we have the Chicago Bears are leaving Chicago. Why? People have questions about the D.C. water manager. J.D. Vance had a nice funny. We're going to talk about everything from the Olympic athletes hating America. Someone wants to know, why do people actually care about diversity? A couple guys struggling with their daughters going a little kooky and commie. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I actually want to begin with this one, because it piggybacks nicely off a story from yesterday, but it was about way more than just D.C. and the Potomac. The story, maybe you missed yesterday, maybe you've been out in the woods, maybe you had your phone put down, and there's nothing wrong with that. Remember, take breaks from politics when it stresses you out. Don't let it ruin your life. Even this show, turn the radio off if it makes your life worse. Come back in a week. There's a story out that there's a bunch of raw sewage flowing into the Potomac. When I say a bunch, I mean millions of gallons. A bunch. That's a lot of poop. And when you have a disaster like that with raw sewage floating in front of the capital of our country, people are going to start looking into why. People are going to try to figure out, okay, who screwed up? Someone screwed up. Because I'm looking out from the Kennedy Center, and that's definitely a turd. Whose fault is that? And of course, I played yesterday the water manager, David Gaddis is his name. He took over the DC water, and well, this was his focus.
Whether it is a delay, whether
totally
it is
the wrong button. That I swear he sounds more masculine than that. This is David Gaddis.
You know, when I arrived at DC Water, this was an organization that looked very similar to our industry. It was predominantly, you know, white male at the top. But this is a utility that's, you know, more than 70% people of color work at this utility. And I really believe, and I still believe, and it has been fantastic. The outcomes have been fantastic. But the people at the top, the executives, the chiefs in that C-suite, they should look like the employees that they serve and that they work with, and the same thing with the community. And so my executive team, you know, looks exactly like the community. It looks like the employees, the staff, you know, be it people of color, women, men, and
okay, we fired all the white men, we hired a bunch of black people and women, and now there's sewage running into the river. And somebody writes an email in and he says, Jesse, I was listening to the show and something struck me when you were talking about diversity in our country and jobs, etc. Why do people think skin color is the only kind of diversity that matters? I contend as a white guy from the Pacific Northwest that I have a very different life experience and therefore outlook on the world than a white guy who grew up in Mississippi or Appalachia. Different diversity of skin color is such a myopic way to look at it. Okay, let's discuss this. Let's discuss tribalism, diversity, and how that ends up getting translated into communism and destruction. Let's talk about this. First, why do men live around each other? Mankind itself. Why have we ever gathered and become a tribe, become a nation, become a city-state? Why not just be alone? You know me, it's antisocial Jesse. At least that's what Jewish producer Chris calls me, antisocial. I'm not Chris. I'm not antisocial. It's just that I hate when people talk to me sometimes. That's totally different than me. Anyway, but I still gather with friends, family members.
neighbors. I eat ice cream during the football game. Stop sending me these emails. Anyway, why do we live around each other? What is the point? Well, even introverts like me, we are made to live around each other and rely on each other. Living around others, being around others, coming together as a group. Think of it, honestly, the easiest way to think about our conversation now is an Indian tribe. You know I love Indian tribes, so just, we're the Cherokee, all right? Why would we come together? Why would we choose, why not just go live in a teepee by yourself? Be totally peaceful, nobody bugging me, don't have to worry about smelling my neighbor. Because of prosperity and protection. That's why human beings choose to live together. And we all have throughout the entire history of mankind on this planet. Adam was created, and 5 minutes later he said, God, I'm friggin' lonely. Here, take a rib. Give me somebody, something. We need other people. Right? By the way, please keep in mind, I paraphrase that from Genesis. Lord, do not strike me down. That is very much not word for word. Anyway, you understand what I mean. We're made to live around other people. To be tribal is the most natural thing in the world. Human beings are naturally tribal. We are. Now, that can be wonderful. It is inevitable. And it also can be terrible. Being tribal does not have to be about skin color or religion or it does not have to be that. There are many, 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 many different forms of tribalism. When you are at a football game, when you show up at a football game and eat ice cream and you're wearing your New England Patriots jersey, you have a kinship with other people around you wearing a New England Patriots jersey. You don't know that guy. You don't know that girl. They could be totally different from you, the total different walks of life. But for 3 hours on Sunday, they are your tribe. And so when the Patriots score a touchdown, you turn and you're slapping high five and you're hugging it. Woo! Human beings are tribal for a variety of reasons, and it is inevitable we will tribe up. Now, the problem with this is, and it can be a huge problem if you allow it to be, when you are tribal, it can be used in extremely negative ways by evil people. And being tribal, inevitably, will have you defending terrible behavior. I brought up sports. I brought up the New England Patriots. By the way, I have no idea why I brought them up, but we'll just stick with that. I brought up sports, the New England Patriots. If I posted a video today, I'm not a big sports guy. I don't talk a lot about sports. I mean, I watch it, but not like I used to be obsessed with it. But if I put up a video today of a New England sports fan punching out a Philadelphia Eagles fan after a game, and I said something along the lines of, these New England Patriot fans, what a bunch of dirtballs. Violent dirtball people, those New England Patriots fans. Do you know what the responses would be from New England Patriots fans? And the video could be horrible. It could be a man way bigger than some other tiny dude walks up and sucker punches him and knocks his lights out. The New England Patriot fan on video, he's in the wrong, no question. And the responses from New England Patriot fans would be overwhelmingly. Well, we don't have any context. Eagles fans are worse. They've done so much worse than this. That guy probably provoked him. It would be overwhelming responses of defending the New England Patriots fan because why? He's in my tribe. If I'm a Cherokee and a band of young warriors, they go raid the Sioux camp right next door. And they steal a bunch of women and horses, and they do terrible things, and they bring some of that booty back to camp, and they're called out for it. the Sioux show up and say, hey, he took my woman and my horse. Am I going to step up as a Cherokee and say, you know, he brings up a good point. You guys did wrong. Hey, give the horses back. Is that going to be my natural inclination? No. I'm going to be tribal in that moment, and I'm going to defend something terrible, something I shouldn't defend. We'll continue on this and how the communists take advantage of this mentality. We'll continue on this in a moment. Before we continue on this, I want to talk to you about something. I want to talk to you about becoming pain-free. Do you even remember what it was like when you didn't have chronic pain? It was wonderful, wasn't it? Maybe by now, maybe you've done this thing where you just accept, hey, I'm always going to be in pain. My elbow's just always going to hurt. My back's always going to hurt. When I wake up in the morning and I try to get out of bed, I'm always going to do the thing as I get up. But it doesn't have to be permanent. You can start taking Relief Factor today. And what you will notice is when you take this supplement, this drug-free, natural supplement, that pain is going to get turned down and down and down and down and down and down more and more and more every single day. One day you're going to wake up and that pain's going to be gone. 3 weeks of it is $19.95. At least try it for 3 weeks. Isn't it worth it? 1-800, the number 4, Relief, or relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Thursday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday, opening it up with a heavy topic, but a topic that's important that we dig into. We're going to talk about why this obsession with diversity and everything, why this and that. And we talked about tribalism, so let's expand on that a little bit more. Human beings, by their very nature, are tribal. I am, you are, everybody is. Does not have to be skin color or sports team or even religion or something, but human beings will seek out tribes because of the protection and prosperity that comes with living around other people who share your values. It's not even a bad thing to be tribal. It's human. It's the most human thing in the world. However, when you have a country like the United States of America, there is something about us that is incredibly wonderful, but also incredibly dangerous. And here's what that something is. The United States of America is a place that is unique. You know, so many European countries, African countries, Middle Eastern countries, these places, it really was a tribe that kind of expanded into a nation, that kind of a thing. The United States of America, it was founded by Christian people. Founded by Christian people. But they said early on, there was no open borders or anything like that, but they said, if you want to be free, if you want to be a free man, you can be free here. You want to live under our laws, worship God the way you want, you can be free here. We will not have a king. That's what we want in the United States of America. And because of that idea, that brought in, I'm talking about the early times in our country, that brought in all kinds of people from all over the place. People who, they may have looked similar, but they weren't really similar. Hordes of people from Ireland are totally different than hordes of people from Germany, who are different than hordes of people from Britain. They're different people, yet they were able to come together under the idea that they wanted to be free. They wanted to be Americans. They didn't want to be German anymore. They didn't want to be Irish anymore. They wanted to be Americans. I came here because I wanted to be America. You'll talk to people today, the good ones, a lot of people from Vietnam like that. I'm an American. Cubans that way. I'm an American. They don't describe themselves as Cuban. I'm a freaking American. Now, that's wonderful. But like most things in life that are wonderful, it can become terrible like that. When you bring in different peoples from different places, I'm from Germany, I'm from Nigeria, I'm from Vietnam, I'm from Cuba, I'm from this, I'm from that. With the wrong influences, the wrong education, the wrong leaders in their community, with a toxic mixture of the wrong things, they can form up different tribes inside your country. And then you have a nation at war with itself. When people stop seeing themselves as Americans, stop describing themselves as Americans, and everything had either a hyphen to it, or they'll just flat out say, "I'm a Mexican. I'm an American. I'm a Cuban. That's bad. Always, always bad." And that creates an incredible opening for communists to get involved and separate the society. The United States of America, we defeated the Soviet Union. Yes, that is true. But here's what is also true. The demonic, divisive nature of the communist, it did worm its way into our country and started separating us by this or that, by various reasons. And one of the things the communists focused on intently, well documented, is the, quote, civil rights movement in the United States of America. We brought this up earlier, especially because it's Black History Month. Rosa Parks was a communist activist. That was a stunt. It was a stunt that the communists then put in the national spotlight. By the way, did you know this? They tried the stunt once already, and it worked, except the lady who pulled it off was a single mother, and that was looked down upon in America. So they thought, she's not the one. You know what? Toss her on the back burner. Here's Rosa Parks. She looks like she wants to bake you some chocolate chip cookies. Look at her glasses. That's the one. She spent all day on buses trying to pull that stunt off. Did you know that? She finally did, and to this day, your kid learns that Rosa Parks was some saint in school. The communists found the civil rights movement to be an absolute gold mine of divisiveness in the country. That's a movement. We can dig into that right there, and we can use that to turn Americans against other Americans. We can use that movement, and we can create a portion. It's not all, so don't convince yourself that everyone's Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, okay? But we can use that. This is how the communists thought. We can use that to take a portion of the Black community in this country and tell them they're their own tribe. And everything should be for their tribe. And they'll be against everyone who's not in their tribe. And we'll even get a bunch of well-to-do, turn-the-other-cheek white people to support it. Yeah, you are your own tribe. You should get everything, guys. This hyper-focus on this kind of disgusting diversity that's killing us, it's just communism. It's tribalism turned evil. I'll finish this in a second. Hang on.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a spicy Thursday. Remember, if you want to pour the hate mail in here, if anything I've said offends you, I don't care. But you are welcome to email me about it, and we'll laugh at you on nationally, probably Monday, as soon as we get back. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com for your love, your hate, your death threats, your that's racist talk. Remember, none of that matters to me. It's not your mommy's show. It's your daddy's show. We're telling you how it is. Tribalism is natural. Tribalism can be wonderful. Tribalism can turn incredibly evil. And so when it comes to things like, well, just ridiculous, insane, frankly, for being honest, racist statements like this.
You know, when I arrived at DC Water, this was an organization that looked very similar to our industry. It was predominantly, you know, white male at the top. But this is a utility that's, you know, more than 70% people of color work at this utility. And I really believe, and I still believe, and it has been fantastic. The outcomes have been fantastic. But the people at the top, the executives, the chiefs in that C-suite, they should look like the employees.
So he fired the white people, and now there's sewage spilling into the river. Now, here's the thing. Now, this is something maybe you didn't think about. He made that statement a long time ago. He didn't make that statement when the sewage was spilling into the river. He made that statement a long time ago, and it didn't cause any controversy. When's the last time you saw a corporation brag about diversity? Chris is laughing. All the time, right? Well, what is it? What does that mean? When a corporation is bragging about diversity, what is it in practice? In the United States of America, any corporation, any entity at all, bragging about diversity, its diversity efforts, that is a corporation that is bragging about being racist against white men. Because diversity never, ever, 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 ever means white men. It means fewer white men. Everyone knows what I just said to be true. Now, I had a guy on. He's actually a friend of mine. If you've been listening for a long time and you have the memory of a god, you'll remember who this is, but I'm not going to name him because I like him a lot. We're friends. He's a black dude. And when I had him on, we were discussing the black national anthem in sports. And obviously that's something I think is insane. The national anthem is for every American. Black, white, no matter your skin color, no matter what, if you're an American citizen, we have one national anthem. And this guy, he was trying really hard to sell why it's good to have a black national anthem, only he knew that sounded kind of bad. And so what he said was, no, it's just a worship song. To which I responded, so why aren't they playing Amazing Grace? And so it was obvious. He was kind of caught with that. And I just flat out asked him. I asked him on the air. Let me ask you, do you feel like black people should have their own separate national anthem? And he just totally clammed up because the answer was yes. And he knew if he answered it that way on the air, it would look bad. That's incredibly unhealthy. That is unhealthy for a country to divide itself tribally. When you have people protesting in Los Angeles waving Mexican flags, that's insanely unhealthy for a country. Pride flags, insanely unhealthy for a country.
I am introducing legislation to designate the Pride flag as a congressionally authorized flag in America, and that means it can be flown here and everywhere else. And no one can take it down.
Unhealthy. A nation has to rally itself under one banner, or it ceases to become a nation. What it becomes instead is a dangerous place of tribal warfare. You know, we'll go back to our Indian analogy before I move on and discuss other things. It's fine if the Cherokee and the Sioux, they were the Lakota, but I'll just say the Sioux. It's fine if the Cherokee and the Sioux don't get along, even go to war from time to time. That's fine. For the most part, they're either going to push each other out of an area or they'll stay in their own area. Hey, this is our own area. We're going to hunt and we'll do our thing here. And that's your area. You hunt and do your own thing over there. But what if I were to gather them together and plant them in the same village and put a big fence around it and say, okay, guys, live together now. How's that going to go? I have described communism like this before, and it is, in my opinion, the best analogy I've ever used. If you ever go hiking in the Rocky Mountains, and I hope you get the chance to do that one day, I've done it many times in my life growing up in Montana, you will see boulders the size of which you never even knew existed. Boulders larger than a car, huge ones, tons of them. And you will see, if you do enough of it, you will come across a boulder the size of a car split in two. Like God himself came down with an axe and chopped it, because that's what it looks like it would take to split that boulder in two. How could anything split a boulder that large and strong in two? Well, you know what does it? Boulders over time develop cracks. That crack, eventually, weather being what it is going to get water in it. Rain, snow melt off. And then, one night, with water in that crack, it's going to freeze. And that water is going to freeze. And even the biggest, strongest boulder in the world, when that water expands, it's going to split that boulder in two. Communism is the water. It finds the cracks in any society, wherever they may be. You know, why did the communists, why did they find the civil rights movement to be such a fertile ground for communism here? Because black people were being mistreated in the United States of America, and there was understandable anger over there, and there was a lot of understandable anger there, and the communists recognized, that's a crack. That's a crack. You see that? That's a crack right there. Let's get in there. Let's get in it. Let's freeze it. Let's split it. Now you go board your Delta flight. You can walk down the jetway and look to your right, and you'll see a corporate poster where they're bragging about how much they discriminate against white men. We intend to diversify by more than 20% again next year. An open announcement that they intend to phase white men out of the workforce. Bragging about it, not doing it just behind closed doors. They'll get right on camera and brag about
it. When I arrived at DC Water, this was an organization that looked very similar to our industry. It was predominantly, you know, white male at the top. But this is a utility that's, you know, more than 70% people of color work at this utility. And I really believe, and I still believe, and it has been fantastic. The outcomes have been fantastic. But the people at the top, the executives, the chiefs in that C-suite, they should look like the employees that they serve and that they work with. And the same thing with the community. And so my executive team.
That didn't cause any stir at all until sewage started flowing into the river. That's the most amazing part of the story. And it's not as it, look, I don't even want to isolate DC Water. Corporation after corporation, government agency after government agency, entity after entity after entity across the United States of America and the Western world, they'll say this stuff out in the open without controversy. Open tribal warfare. It's been very dividing. It's been splitting for our country. It's terrible. All right, we're moving on. Someone wants to talk about bot politicians and other things. Before we do that, you looking to hire someone? I know you're not interested in what their skin color is. You just want the best people, right? You have a position to fill, and you need the best person. ZipRecruiter is going to make finding that person so much easier. You don't have to do it alone, not in this day and age. Don't waste time. Don't waste money. ZipRecruiter has the top candidates sitting there already waiting for you. As you're listening to the sound of my voice, those resumes are sitting at ZipRecruiter. When you post that job, they'll match you like that. 4 out of 5 employers find somebody good the first day. Stop banging your head against the desk. Hey, you can't find anybody. No, you can't find anybody. I can't find anybody. ZipRecruiter already found them for us. We don't have to. Let someone else do it. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse lets you try it free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday, because I can't be here tomorrow. We'll be back on Monday for Medal of Honor Monday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Hey, Oracle, why do you not see that China has Mitch McConnell bought and paid for, this guy says. It is his Chinese masters that will not allow him to resign. That's why he doesn't retire. You know they may have difficulty buying the next senator. All right, well, the reason I read this email is this. Yes, I've heard all the rumors about Mitch McConnell and his wife and the ties to the Chinese. And I've heard all the rumors. I've heard all that. I don't want to make it specifically about him. I want to make it about this subject in general. Our politicians being under foreign influence, being subject to foreign influence, is always a very difficult topic. And here's why it's a difficult topic. Because most of the time, you never know, you only suspect, right? Bob Menendez of New Jersey had Egyptian gold bars. I think they were under his bed. Maybe they were in his closet. Maybe they were both places. Yeah, oh, Chris said both. Okay, of course Chris would remember where the gold bars were. But, of course, that's an extreme example. Most of the time, you don't know. I had a conversation today. This is about to be an ugly one, all right? But I had a conversation today with Ammon Blair. It was for my TV show. I have a TV show on the first, and I'm doing a special on the cartels and whatnot. But Ammon Blair was talking to me about, it was actually specifically about Border Patrol agents. The conversation was bigger than that. It was about sheriffs and mayors and things like that, but specifically Border Patrol agents. And he was discussing with me that there are Border Patrol agents who get bought off by the cartels. Not always with money, by the way. Sometimes with women. They even have a term for it. Narco Barbie. Did you know that's a term? That's an actual term. Local sheriff. Sometimes he's bought off. Cop, bought off. Mayor, bought off. Now, that's local cops and Border Patrol agents and mayors. How many people in the United States House of Representatives are bought off? By I'm not just saying by cartels, by the way. Could be anybody. Chinese, Iran, the Iranian money spends too. If you got money, you can do it. How many people in the United States Senate are bought off? Or, instead of bought off, or blackmailed? We know these stories. These are true stories. It's been true since time began. Shoot, this is Israel's specialty. They do this to the Iranians all the time. It's hilarious how many of these Iranian generals end up having to give away secrets because they get themselves stuck in compromising situations. I won't go into the details, but it's intelligence agency 101. If you have nothing moral against it, get somebody to take a bribe or do something on a business trip he's not proud of, record it, and then tell him, you work for us now. You have to vote this way or else. The reason it's a difficult topic is it's real. We know it's real. We know it happens. There are enough stories out there where we know it happens. And in general, you never know. Remember that Ken Buck soundbite that we've played for you 1,000 times? Do you remember it? Ken Buck, I'm sure you don't remember him, but Ken Buck is a former congressman from Colorado. Under Joe Biden's presidency, it was finally revealed how truly sick and evil the FBI is. The entire organization should be disbanded. And while we were in the heart of the FBI attacking American citizens, covering up for Hunter Biden so Joe Biden could win an election, spying on Donald Trump. While we were in the middle of all that, Christopher Wray sat in front of Ken Buck in the United States House of Representatives. And before I play this for you again, which you've heard before on the show, I have no knowledge of it, but when I heard this, you know what I heard? I heard a guy who doesn't want the FBI to reveal some things.
I want to thank you for leading an agency, as you mentioned in your opening statement, that protects Americans from foreign terrorists, that an agency that protects Americans from spies from China and Russia, and cybercrime and public corruption and organized crime and drug cartels and human traffickers and white-collar criminals. And I want to thank you and the FBI for protecting law-abiding Americans from the evil that exists all around us. And frankly, I am not in favor of defunding the FBI, nor am I in favor of splitting up the FBI, nor am I in favor of using the Holman rule for the FBI director.
Oh, by the way, Ken Buck promptly retired right after that. No, I don't know. That's half the problem with this. I don't know. How would I know? Maybe he's just stupid and weak. Maybe he's been bribed. Maybe he's been blackmailed. I have no earthly idea. But tell me that didn't sound like a guy who had a visit from the FBI who said, "Hey, Ken, would be a real shame if this came out. Anyway, we don't want to be defunded and broken up. We'd like to hear that from you during the next testimony." How do we know? Most of the time, we don't know. You heard me ask Brandon Darby, speaking of the cartels, you heard me ask Brandon Darby this question. I think it was the last time he came on, maybe it was a couple times ago, of members of Congress. Do we know if any are involved in the cartels? And Brandon flat out said, I mean, yeah, we have serious suspicions. This guy from a border district cast this vote, which doesn't make sense. He also has a picture with this other guy who happens to be a cartel-aligned figure. Who knows? You think Bob Menendez is the only one with gold bars under his bed? He's just the moron who probably did it openly enough to get himself caught. It's a hard subject because it's real, and yet most of the time we don't know. All we can have are suspicions, and I don't like to traffic in suspicions. All right? All right. Somebody's worried about his daughter going to communism. These blue cities, do they want people to leave? Someone wants me to explain the system and more.